Tuesday. You know, yesterday when you weren't here, Bill, Patty Vasquez filled in for you, and I felt like weird saying the day of the week. So
did you startle her when you said Monday? Did you just go Monday, and she went? Wah?
No, I kind of softened it, and I went, "Today is Monday."
Oh, you can't soften it.
Yeah, it didn't.
You can't soften it. No,
I didn't want to alarm her.
No, you did the right thing. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. This is the Stream of Consciousness, or as some kids like to call it, the Bonus Hour. We're okay with either one. It's just us talking about whatever we feel like. And if you want to join in, we would love to hear from you. Text us, stop by, call us, do whatever you prefer. A couple of things. Thing number one is, this is my first show back in a week. Busy week, by the way, Wendy. I took Prince Harry to Rogers and Holland's Jewelers. And we looked at rings for his girlfriend. They're now fiancés.
Was Jewel Cadet there to help
Jewel Cadet helped us out. He had already gone to Hlustig without me.
So where?
Hlustig Jewelers. He looked over there. And he said they had some nice things, but he wanted to go to Rogers and Holland. So we looked there. And we had a
Rogers
nice time.
And Holland.
Jewelry created now and
forever.
And that's what we're hoping happens. They make a lovely couple. I'm pleased for both of them.
He is adorable. Can I just say that? He's adorable.
Yeah, he's
adorable. He started out being like the goofy little redhead when they were younger.
Well, he dressed like a Nazi for Halloween once, and I'm not one to hold a grudge, but that's one of those things I do hold a grudge on. I know that since then he's done a lot of nice things, but there's always that picture of him dressed like a Nazi for Halloween.
I forgot all about that.
That always sits poorly with me, you know?
I just know that...
I know he was a kid. I know he's grown out of that.
He wasn't that young.
So I think he was in... Was he in eighth grade or freshman in high school or something when
You're old enough to know better.
Yeah, don't be dressed like a Nazi, whether it's Halloween or not. That's
good. Yeah, forgive him.
No, a two-year-old dressed like a Nazi is even more disconcerting than
the parents.
13-year-old, yeah. Ugh.
All right, well, Will was always the cute one, if you want to know the truth. He looked just like Diana.
In the early days, he was.
And now, Harry has turned into the cute one.
Yeah. Did I read this right, that the title that Meghan Markle will have, and she's beautiful, by the way, isn't she?
She's all right.
Oh, man, she's so pretty.
I got to look at a better picture of her.
Hold on, I got a couple. Hold on. I got a few
in
my
wallet. In your wallet?
Yeah, I keep a few pictures of the princess in my wallet.
So weird.
Well, I had to bring them into Rogers and Hollins, because when they said... What kind of ring is good? I go, well, she looks like this. And I'd show her a picture. So here's what I heard over the weekend. Because they just got it. For people who aren't up on British news, they just got engaged. That she will formally be known as Princess Henry.
What?
How can that be?
I don't understand how the royalty works.
I don't either. Why wouldn't she just be called... All right, so the common belief would be that she would be called... Duchess Meghan. And I'm okay with that. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Sounds like a cartoon.
The Duchess Meghan cartoon. She would drive a unicycle and have a pet cheetah. I don't understand why she'd be called Princess Henry. His real name is Henry. Did you know that? Like, they call him Harry, but that's just his nickname. On his birth certificate, it says Henry. And for some reason... In the line of succession, if you're married to the prince, you're known as princess and then his formal name. But that's weird. Just call her Duchess Meghan. That sounds pretty. I like that.
I don't like that.
You don't like that? But it sounds.
There's no Duchess Meghan. That just doesn't go together.
Well, it sounds a little valley, you know, because usually royalty doesn't have that
right.
much of a valley sound.
Like Duchess Tiffany would be way worse,
yeah.
But this is in the same vein.
Yeah, I guess so.
She's very pretty.
Oh, she's so pretty. She's so pretty. Now, look at how far they've come in England in acceptance. For instance, there was a time, because she's not British born, that people would go, well, we don't want her to be a princess. She's not from Great Britain. She was married once before. So there'd people go, she was married. You don't want her to be the princess. She was married. She's of mixed race, so I'm sure there's people who go, oh, come on. But all those things now, for some reason, are good, and that's a good thing. That means we've all come a long way.
He can do better.
Oh, don't say that. Why do you say that?
I don't know. I don't know. If he loves her, then you know what? He doesn't need to do better. That's good enough
for
him.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And I love the fact that all those elements, there was a time that the stodgy people of England would have said, oh, no, already married, an American of mixed race, not worthy of being our princess. But now people are very accepting of her, so that's great.
She is really pretty.
Ah, what won you over finally?
Well, there was a picture she is really pretty.
She's so pretty.
She just doesn't seem like the type to be with him.
No? Who would you put with him?
I didn't know he had such a wild side.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know?
We've been friends since he's in my fantasy baseball league.
Oh, God.
He's in my fantasy cricket league. That's where I met him. It's not as popular as fantasy baseball. He and I are the only two people in the league.
So it's no one you else get a 50-50 chance of winning?
He always wins. He's so much better at it than I am.
She's very attractive.
Oh,
and
I'm telling you,
know
she's
what?
So pretty. She's beautiful. She was on some TV show I've never heard of.
Yeah, I haven't. Suits?
The Suits.
Yeah, I never heard of that either.
I don't know what that is.
She did go to Northwestern.
Yeah. How about that? The Princess of England.
You're like borderline stalker.
The Princess of England went to school like 3 blocks from my house. That's pretty cool. That's never happened before.
May not ever happen again.
Well, Lady Diana once spoke there.
Really?
Yeah, that was a big deal in Evanston. She came out and she spoke. And then we went to Mustard's Last Stand and had hot dogs.
You did not, and I'm glad you have nice dreams, Bill. Well, that's good.
I'm happy for them.
I just want them to be happy, and I just
the
love...
The ring cost over $1,000. It's expensive. I don't know where he got all that money, but he pulls out a wallet, Wendy, and I go, what's that wad in the wallet? He goes, this is my money. I'm going to spend it on a ring for Meghan, for Lady Henry.
Who put the quarter in you today? Or the nickel? I don't know which it is. I'm very happy for them. I really like Harry... and Will, because I really, for some reason, absolutely adored Princess Diana. And mm-hmm. I've never been a royal. Mm-hmm. I never really cared much. Mm-hmm. But she just really was an amazing woman.
Did a lot of good things.
A lot of good things. Lost her life in a tragic way, way too young. And I really have felt for the two boys being without a mother.
Yeah.
And they have really come into their own, and they're great people, and they're trying to raise awareness of mental health, and they seem like they're following in their mom's footsteps.
Yeah, I think they're both more like their mom than their dad, don't you?
Yes, they have a personality.
Yeah, he's not much on the personality.
Yeah,
he just shows up to stuff and nods a lot.
If you were royal, you'd be like that too.
I'd do more stuff than just nod.
There's no need for it.
So you can get away with it.
You could just go and nod and wave your hand every once in a while.
Right. Now, somebody was trying to figure out what the odds are of her being the Queen of England, because there's a line of succession, and I think it goes like, all right, so right now it's the Queen of England is the ruler and monarchy of all that is England, but if something happens to her, then it goes to Prince Charles, he becomes, and then if something happens to him, it goes to Prince William, and then it goes to his son, who's like 3 or something, right?
Again, I don't keep track of all the royalty like you do.
You got to keep track.
Do you have
Wendy.
A flow chart?
Yes. I have, in my garage, I've got like a family tree of the Windsors.
With little crowns?
Yeah, with little crowns. And there's all kinds of arrows and stuff as to who goes where. But that'd be weird to have a king who's 3. Imagine having a president who acted like he was 3. Can you imagine what that would be like?
You don't even need me today. You're bouncing stuff off me. I don't even have a chance to respond. Thanks for including me in your monologue today.
We have to talk about something sad.
I know.
This is sad.
And
this
we
is...
haven't had a chance to talk about it. And you know what's super sad is it happened on your birthday.
That makes it sadder. That makes it sadder. David Cassidy, who many of us knew and loved as Keith Partridge.
I think I love him.
But what are you so afraid of?
His death.
Yeah, yeah. He had been very sick for a couple of days. He had been out of sorts for a long time. Right?
Yeah,
that's fair to say, right?
I don't really know what happened other than he claims he had dementia. He did have some DUIs. Not that long ago,
mm-hmm.
and he had like his organs were giving out, and your organs don't give out on their own, and they don't give out from dementia, really.
Right.
So liver, you're assuming some detrimental damage from drinking.
Yeah, it did seem to,
maybe dementia can be caused by alcoholism.
Well,
I think I know, it can contribute to
it. I know
it.
One must feed the other, but I think it kind of goes back and forth, right? The dementia fed into his alcoholism fed into his dementia. Now, his dementia, when it was first announced that he had dementia, we were both pretty skeptical, right?
Right, because we had talked to him, and he did not seem coherent to me, quite honestly.
Can we do this? Let's take a break. We'll do some news. And then I wanted to ask you, because I was thinking about calling you and asking you this. I've not talked to you since last Tuesday. I wanted to ask you what you remembered from that interview, because it was one of the, in the years you and I have been working together, that was one of our strangest segments, was talking to him. And I had talked to him before without you, and it was strange, but it was nowhere near as strange as it was.
So you're blaming me?
No. I'm not blaming you at all. But I just remember it being, like, as it was happening, I remember looking over at you, like, going, are we not hooked up properly? Something's not right. He was answering questions that we didn't ask. He kept referencing things about his dad, Jack Cassidy, that were strangely out of context, remember? Like, we asked him some question about the show he was working on, and at the time, he was selling off a lot of his possessions.
Right.
And we asked him a question about that, and then his answer was about his dad, Jack Cassidy, and how underappreciated his dad was. It was very, very, very peculiar, everything about it.
I just remember it was all over the board.
Yes.
But that's all I remember. And I thought he got mad at us about something, but I can't remember. See, I don't know, Bill. You always remember things. We're going to find it and play an excerpt of it.
Can we play a little bit of it?
Because I really don't remember. I do something, and then I go home, and...
You move on.
Yeah, it's like Etch-A-Sketch. I just shake it, and then my brain goes back to nothing.
Right. That's the way it should be.
And then I fill it up again the next day.
Like an Etch-A-Sketch.
All right, we're going to take a listen to Judy Pylak's news in just a few, and then we're going to talk about David Cassidy, which... He was one of my first crushes from Tiger Beat magazine.
I think it would have been impossible to have grown up in the 60s into the 70s and not have been influenced or have a crush on David Cassidy. It was gigantic. One of TV's biggest stars at the time.
And we were, we haven't talked to Danny Bonaducci in quite some time, but we have mutual friends of his, and David Cassidy was very big brotherly to Danny, and he was really upset, obviously, at the news of his death. And then the thing that really makes me so sad is I had heard that his daughter and he were kind of at odds.
Yeah, they didn't talk for years. Katie Cassidy.
Yes, and she's in, I don't know what shows, she's on TV.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what show she's
But she was just saying, words cannot express the solace our family received from all the love and support during this time, this trying time. My father's last words were, quote, so much wasted time. This will be a daily reminder for me to share my gratitude with those I love as to never waste another minute.
No.
And that has stuck with me, like, so much wasted time.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste any time.
My friend Sam is an actor and did a play with him on Broadway called Blood Brothers. They played.
Oh, I remember that.
All right. So Sam said that the rest of the cast had a very hard time working with David because David was a huge television star, and then it kind of just slipped away. So he had a core of fans that still went to see him when he would go and perform, but being one of TV's golden children to not being was a very hard transition for him.
And I can understand that, can't you?
Yeah.
He was the shiznit.
Yes.
Can I say that on the radio?
Yes. Mork and Mindy fans. Isn't that what Mork used to say on every episode of Mork
Shazbat.
And Mindy? That's it. So Sam said that the whole cast had a very hard time around him because he wasn't the nicest guy. But Sam would call him out on stuff and just say, you can't act like that toward people. You know, there was a time where you would have gotten away with that, but that time has gone. You got to be a human being now. You're working with other actors and professionals. And he said that that made David Cassidy really appreciate him and say, wow, somebody's calling me out on it.
Really?
That doesn't happen a lot. Yeah.
Because no one would ever say anything to him.
No. I always heard that he still acted like the...
He did.
You know, he was so while he complained about that, like he's like, you have no idea how what it's like to be such a huge megastar like me with the. But that really, you know, that happened for a while, and then you're right. Then he was not a mega, but he still acted like that, and he always had that attitude of, oh, my life is so hard because of who I am.
Right.
When really, it was he made it that way.
And a lot of people
can't. He fancied himself the star his whole life.
For most of us, for almost everybody walking around, that's not a problem that we'll have because we never right. had that pinnacle. So it's foreign to us. I can totally understand it, you guys.
I do, too.
I get it, but
he
peaked
so early, and right. then, yes, yeah. his concerts were very, they were, I don't know if they were sold out, but there were a lot of people like us who were like, oh, nostalgia, let's go see David Cassidy. Oh, my God, he was my first crush. He never achieved that greatness again, ever.
Right. When right. I had him on without you, it wasn't at this station. I was working at another station. Every question I would ask him, like I'd ask him, I'd go, hey, like let's say it was the day before Halloween. Do you like Halloween? He would say this. 3 years ago, I had the number one selling album in Belgium. 1 month later, in Luxembourg, I had two singles in the top. Like, it was constantly, like, all
trying
the,
to prove himself.
And when the interview was over, I went, why do you need to do that? You
know, because that's all he had. That's all he based his worth on.
But it's also all he complained about.
Yeah.
That's the dichotomy there. From what I've read and heard.
Right.
That was constantly, ugh, this is so difficult. You guys, you people have no idea
have no
what it's
idea
like
how
to be
hard.
Me. Yeah. But that's all he ever wanted, and that's all he did. Yeah.
I know.
And I think that's what he meant about so much wasted time.
He wasted so much time going in a big circle.
Right.
I mean, you know, the guy who played Greg Brady, I can't think of
Barry Williams.
I couldn't think of his name for a minute.
That's right.
He's kind of like that, too.
Yeah, I know.
Where, you know, I've run into him on numerous occasions with Kevin Matthews used to have golf outings, and he'd be there just like, do you know who I am? And it's like, I wanted to go, I know who you used to be.
Exactly. Oh, isn't that sad?
Those would be the harshest words you could ever say to him.
I got to hold that in my back pocket.
Used to be.
Do you know who you was?
Oh.
All right, I'm going to hold that in my back pocket. I didn't say it to him, but in my head I was thinking that because he was kind of a jerk.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, you know, Danny Bonaducci, we were very close with, in fact, because of Danny, that's how you and I hooked up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we've tried to reach out to Danny to have him on the show, and he kind of is like, yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's Danny. But I did understand that Danny was very heartbroken because he said David Cassidy was treated
like
him.
Like his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forever, when Danny couldn't get a job and David was still touring doing music, he would bring Danny on to do stand-up in front of his
Which
his
is
music.
Pretty cool.
It's very nice of him. Yeah.
Will you do that for me someday?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to waste time.
No.
If you don't help me.
I've got the two Chris's. Both Chris Partridges are opening for me. I can't fit you in.
And their names are?
Jeremy Gelbwax and Brian Forster.
Oh, see why
goodness.
I love working with
You're
them,
welcome.
Judy?
It's crazy.
Ba, 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 ba. I wish you could stay, Jude, but you can't.
Oh, I loved
Judy.
It. I will say I was completely crushed.
At the loss of David Cassidy.
Yes.
Very
I mean,
sad.
I loved him growing up. Loved him.
Yeah.
He had the best hair in all the land.
Almost everybody I knew, guy-wise, we all tried to have our hair look like his. None of us could pull it off.
It was feathered so perfectly.
He had the whole package. Everything about him.
Do you remember his stuntman on the Partridge Family was a girl?
I do remember that. I don't know why.
Stuntman?
Yeah.
To do the what?
All the dangerous stunts.
Like what?
Getting on and off the bus.
There was something, though.
They would always, there were all these publicity shots.
It wasn't a stunt person. It was a double.
Yeah, it was a double.
Oh, okay.
But it was a girl.
To do the boring shots.
Well, so what happens on a TV show is they block the scenes, and he's too busy. He can't
right.
be expected to walk across the soundstage. So she, his stunt double, his stand-in,
yeah,
because she
he
had
was
the same
very slight
build
and
hair.
Pretty thin and
yeah.
I tried to get my hair cut like that. I got to be honest with you. To this day, I still like to do like a shag haircut like that.
Yeah, it was kind of a shag
because of him.
It was feathered so beautifully.
I know.
Can I tell you a weird tribute to him and to the whole Partridge Family and Brady Bunch? I went to St. Damien's School, and we had this thing called the Missions. And what the Missions was this container of money, and you'd put money in, and if your class raised enough money, you would sponsor a kid in Ghana or somewhere in
Africa. You're
not
the only church that did that.
You guys did this, too?
Yeah.
So did you guys have naming rights? Because we had naming rights. If we had enough money in the jar, we not only got to sponsor a kid, but we would name them.
But they already had a name.
No. They didn't have names. They didn't have parents. So we sponsor them.
Oh, don't tell me.
There's all these kids in Africa right now. Well, now they're in their 50s.
They're
all
these David Cassidy's.
Keith and Danny and Shirley and Reuben Kincaid.
Chris 1, Chris 2.
Chris 1 and Chris 2.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes. And the Bradys.
Yeah,
all
Brady Tiger.
Names.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the Brady Bunch.
Sam.
Dog.
There's a Sam the Butcher. There's a kid.
Alice.
Alice.
But the Partridge Family had a dog, too.
Did they?
I could have sworn they did.
Did they? I don't remember them having a dog. Maybe. Mm. They were always traveling, Wendy. Who could take care of a dog? Impossible.
There's always some shenanigans going on.
I loved that show. I had the records. I kissed it every night.
You kissed the record?
Well, my room was filled with all those Teen Beat.
And Tony DeFranco posters. I was pretty hot for, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And Donny Osmond, of course.
Yes.
But we briefly...
And Michael Jackson. And I mean, it was all, you know, we had all the
Bobby
good,
Sherman.
Bobby Sherman.
Can I
think
ruin
of
it for you, though? You know how in every one of those Tiger Beats or 16s or 17s it would say... You know, like an in-depth interview with David Cassidy or something.
Very in-depth.
All right, so it turned out those guys were never consulted on any of that.
Know.
It was just some writer that would fill in
why
the
answers.
Why
would you ruin it for us? We kind of knew that, but why do you have to hit it home?
Yeah.
I just want you to know you were living a lie.
All I wish is I had kept those Teen Beat magazines.
I couldn't have. All the lips were worn off.
I know, right? Wasn't it always like... Win a date with
win a date with Bobby Sherman.
I don't think they ever even gave you the how to do it. It just said it, and we bought it, and then we were like, who cares? We just want to read this.
We wouldn't want a date, because then there'd be a chaperone, and we would want a chaperone less.
All right, we have found the interview. This is from a year ago. I know, Judy, I know you have to go.
Yes, all right.
You come back tomorrow?
I will.
All right, Judy will be back tomorrow. All right, so here's what I remember about this interview.
And this, we talked to him about a year ago. I know you talked to him without me.
At another station.
We're going to just play with or without you from
YouTube.
It would
have been awkward to bring you in because you didn't work at that station.
No, not with you.
Right.
So, yes, this was about a year ago, you said?
Yeah, about a year ago.
Sarah, when was the date? When did we speak to him? Oh, 2 years ago.
2 years ago? Oh. All right. So, I remember him not sounding well. But it's jarring when you hear him because he sounds very weak.
He sounded slurry, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, slurry and
because
weak.
I just remember, I don't remember the interview, but I remember looking at you during the interview going,
a couple times,
what's
something's
going
wrong.
On here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we worried about him that something was going to happen after that interview.
As soon as we were done, and this is unprofessional, when you all get your own radio shows, and you will, never do this, but as soon as it was over, you and I went on the air and we went, something's not right with him. It doesn't sound good.
Is that
I hope he's okay. No, I don't know if we got that part on here. So the point I was making was you would ask him a question. He would answer something that didn't fit. Then I'd ask him a question. So I asked him something about this show that he had in Indiana.
Right, which he was promoting.
Right. And I said, what can fans expect to see? And this is his answer.
Take people on what I'm going to do this weekend on Friday. I'm going to take people on my final journey of my musical life, how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Play all my hits. My father was, God, I hate to use this word, but.
Go on.
He was genius.
Sure, Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy was.
He was genius. Mm-hmm. And he had so much musical talent. And thank God, Dad, thanks, Dad, for me inheriting a bunch of it. And my brother, Sean, also.
Yep.
My other two brothers inherited other parts of his. I mean, he was so... he was just a freak, you know? He was a sculptor, a painter. He could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got lucky and inherited his musical prowess, and for that I'm eternally grateful to him, and I bless him every day and thank
good for what's my, wrong with that good for you.
Well, we are big fans, and we have Lila who has called in to talk to you.
I had an aunt named Lila.
Actually Lila's my next door neighbor name, but I didn't want to say my real name, but oh my God, David Cassidy, I can't believe I'm talking to you. You're the cutest boy on the planet, and I just absolutely love the Partridge Family. It's the best show on the air. I mean,
Thank you. It's nice.
I love you, Parker, on the Partridge Family.
Being known as the cutest boy on the planet means absolutely
nothing. I'm the cutest boy on the planet.
To me.
And that was the funniest show.
to have a 40-day.
All right, you can stop it there, Cassara. Now,
wait, he just said to be the cutest boy on the planet means absolutely nothing to me. That's not true.
Oh, it meant everything
to
him.
Everything.
Now, for people listening now, we used to have a rule that you could never use your own name. You had to choose the name of your next-door neighbors. So that explains that.
If you're choosing a fake name, don't give it away by saying that's my next-door neighbor's right, name, because right. then people could figure out who you are.
My name's Becky, but my next-door neighbor, that's Lila, so I'm using Lila's name. So you can hear he sounds a little strained, a little weak back then.
And the finality of it, that's what got us going, is he's like, it'll be my, you know, we'll sing my songs for the final time.
Yeah. But at the time, like in my head, I kept thinking, well, he's doing what Cher does. It's time to start my farewell tour, but this will go on for 20 years of him doing his farewell tour. As it turned out, no, it didn't. It went on for a very short amount of time. Now, do you remember I told you, I don't know if this was on air, I think I may have told you this off air, that there was some video footage of him 4 months ago or 5 months ago performing somewhere where he's just a basket case.
Yeah.
He just starts crying.
We talked about it on the air.
Did we talk about it on the air? I couldn't remember.
Did he fall off the stage or something? I thought he fell.
I think he got wobbly. I don't remember if he fell off the stage. Also, I hate to say this, but his dad was not the musical genius he painted him to be. His dad was a... Was
All right, you a, are a mean...
His dad was a decent actor, but, you know...
He's decent. He wasn't that great.
He was... Right.
His stepmother was very talented. Shirley Jones
is
really
amazing.
Carousel.
But Jack Cassidy is, for people who don't remember him, if you watch any episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ted Knight is Jack Cassidy. That's the real...
Should have called him Hack Cassidy, am I right?
Wow.
I enjoyed him, but he was really never top-of-the-heap actor or performer, quite honestly. He really wasn't. But to see you suck me into this, because it meant so much to him, it just felt so final to me that he was...
It did, didn't it?
...talking about, you know, thank God I got this from my father. I'm blessed. I'll never forget him.
There was no setup to ask about his dad. My question was... What will your fans see during the show? And then he starts to answer that, and then he just goes, my father was a genius. He was...
He was a freak.
He did also mention freak.
And then went into he was a sculptor,
right.
He was an artist.
But that proves, and I've said to you 1,000 times, you can be a genius, a sculptor, and a freak, and you always say, no, you have to be 2 out of 3. But Jack Cassidy was all 3. Genius, sculptor, freak. You saw his business cards.
He was not that talented. He wasn't. Wow. I mean, but you're the one who started this.
He was very pompous. Like, his whole thing, again, like Ted Baxter on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Was to be very big and overblown and proud of yourself. And he was like that in every role he ever did.
Now, who was David's original mother? Because that's someone I didn't know. I didn't know who that was. Was she an actress?
I think so.
Because that's what I didn't know, and you always saw him with Shirley Jones, and that was who Jack Cassidy married, but that's not David's mother. It's Sean's.
Stepmother. Right. Sean's and Patrick's, I think.
Yeah.
Patrick and Ryan are the two other. That's like the Gummo and Zeppo of the Cassidy
You are really
family.
Mean sometimes.
Gummo and Zeppo are two of my 5 favorite Marx Brothers. I'm not bad-mouthing Gummo
and
Zeppo.
Yeah, but not the most well-known.
The most well-known. That's my point. And do you remember David was married to a famous actress for a while? Do you remember who?
She looked like Susan Day a little bit.
Yes, she did.
And I can't think of her name.
Yes, she did.
Isn't that kind of weird when you think about it?
Yes.
Give me her initials.
Well, her initials are K-L.
Kate Lenz.
Yeah. I liked her. She was on Rich Man, Poor Man.
Mm-hmm.
She was good. Now, I would have gone to her. If I'm David Cassidy... And I'm talking about musical genius. I would go more to her, and I don't think she ever sang or did anything. Jack Cassidy.
See, you get so mean.
I'd go, Kay Lenz is my...
Evelyn Ward was his mother, an American actress known from her stage musical performances and television appearances.
Does she look like him at all?
Yes.
Does she? Let me see. Oh, yeah, the face is the same. Because his daughter, Katie, looks... Her face is almost identical to David's.
Yes, Jack Cassidy. I can't find.
What about Butch Cassidy?
My phone just buzzed you.
I get a I get a prompt every time I mention an old West hero. Your phone sends me a tweet.
I can't find her IMDb, but Evelyn Ward.
I don't remember her from anything.
I don't even remember her name,
no.
Actually.
No.
And Shirley Jones was very talented, very pretty, and is still around.
Do you know...
She was just on something. What was she on?
Oh, I don't know. When I worked at WLS, I had her on as a guest. She was in town for something, and she came in studio. I always liked her, and she never, ever, in anything she ever did, reminded me of my own mom. But that day when she was in studio, everything she said and did reminded me of my own mom. And I told her that. I go, this is a weird compliment, but just the way you're conducting yourself, the way you're talking, the way you're moving, I've never felt like I was closer to my mom than right now.
Can I tell you something that I just told Judy Pylak? That Shirley Jones reminded me of my mom.
Really?
So I don't know if it was at that time that we were growing up with the Partridge Family and we could relate to her, because I feel like she looks like my mom.
She didn't look like my mom, and I'm trying.
My mom looked more like Consuela.
Yeah, from Marcus Welby, like Elena Verdugo.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Shirley Jones looks a little like Elena Verdugo. But I wonder if it's because we really—I don't know. Did you ever meet Mrs. Partridge? I mean, Mrs. Brady, and did you have that same feeling?
Florence Henderson. I never met her. No.
Because I wonder if you'd have. These were our TV moms.
Marion Ross from Happy Days, you'd probably put in that bracket to some extent.
Yeah,
you?
But that, no, because we weren't born in the 50s.
Oh.
You know
okay,
what I mean?
Okay, so contemporaries.
Yeah, because, I mean, we wouldn't have thought, you know, hey, I'd be shucking and jiving with Richie. And, you know, we didn't live in the 50s. So, no, I wouldn't have thought that Marion Ross was my mom.
But I guess the two that would be closest would be Mrs. Brady and Mrs. Partridge.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So I wonder if that's it, because I just told Judy off the air that she reminded me so much of my mom. I didn't meet her, so.
I can't. It was so emotional. First of all, I've been a fan of hers. I saw Oklahoma when I was like 4 years old, and she was Lori in Oklahoma, and she was so pretty and so talented. And then all through the Partridge Family years, and then other things she did over the years, I always liked her.
Grandma's Boy is my favorite.
Grandma's Boy.
She's really raunchy in that.
What's Grandma's Boy? I don't think I've never heard of that. What is that?
Yes, you have. Nick Swartzen's in it.
I don't think I've ever.
Jonah Hill, Doris Roberts.
And is she the title character? Is she Grandma?
No, but she's.
She's in it.
She's dirty.
See, now Florence Henderson did that same thing in Shakes the Clown.
Yes.
She went real bawdy.
Yep.
At some point,
very much like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
But Shirley Jones was good. I remember her in Carousel, one of the best performances.
Yeah, she was so good.
Music Man.
I'm always fascinated when people have a big spectrum of people that they're interested in, you know, as a partner, you know, as either a husband or a boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever. So she was married. Shirley Jones was married to Jack Cassidy, as we mentioned. And then after that marriage dissolved, Marty Ingalls.
That's right.
And those guys.
They remind me of each other.
Couldn't be more. Really? Do they remind me?
Because they were just like wacky and hacky.
Wacky and hacky. That was their cartoon show that they had on for a while. The Wacky and Hacky Show. But he was so. All right. So people who don't know Marty Ingalls would know him from the show I'm Dickens, He's Fenster.
No one would know them from this show.
How about this? He was one of the two guys who played Sal Pomerantz. That's Rob Petrie's army friend on the Van Dyke Show.
It's kind of getting closer.
Is that a stretch?
You're
also
getting warmer.
I'm trying to think of where else people would know him from. Did some cartoon voices over
on
the
variety
years.
Shows. That's where you'd know him from.
He'd show up a lot on variety
with
shows.
With Shirley Jones, didn't he?
No, I don't remember ever seeing them on a variety show.
I'm showing you a picture of Elena Verdugo, who does
that
look like
your
mom.
That looks
and
just like
she
your
looks
mom.
A little like Mrs. Partridge. So that's where
a little bit. Yeah.
I got, they kind of resemble each
little
other.
A little bit.
All right. What's his name?
Marty Ingalls.
He was that kind of.
He was loud and obnoxious.
Okay, much
he
like
was.
Me.
Marty Ingalls.
I'm the female Marty Ingalls.
I'm Dickens, He's Fenster. Was he and John Astin together? You don't remember
not
that?
Not ringing a bell.
That wasn't on for a long time. That was only on for a short time.
Ooh, he got
and he just died a couple of years ago.
You would know him from nothing.
There's nothing in there that you recognize him from?
Christmas Comes to Pac-Land.
That was a cartoon he was in. That was with Pac-Man. Because he did one of the voices on Pac-Man.
He was on an episode of ER.
I didn't see enough episodes to know him from there.
He was on an episode of Baywatch.
That I would know him from. He had a real gravelly voice.
Yeah.
And he was very obtrusive.
Murder, She Wrote.
With Angela Lansbury, it all comes full circle.
It does. The Love Boat. He was on The Love Boat a couple times.
Yeah, I could see that a lot. Yeah.
Hacky and Wacky.
Which one was he?
Wacky and Hacky.
Wacky and Hacky. With he and Jack Cassidy. We should have pitched that cartoon to one of the networks. They would have loved that. That would have been an easy sale for us.
And Packy for Pac-Man.
Right.
Wacky, Hacky, and Packy.
Well, there was a cartoon called Wacky and Packy. There was a cartoon with it was a pachyderm and a crazy elephant or something.
A pachyderm. I mean, an elephant
is
a
pachyderm. What was it? It was Hacky and Packy. Do you remember that cartoon?
Hacky Sacky?
No, that would be silly.
Hacky Sack?
I don't remember what it was, but it was that was a cartoon for a while when we were kids. All right, well, there you have it. That's our salute to David Cassidy.
Not a very good one.
It's not available.
Honestly.
No transcripts are available. No tapings are available of it. You either had to have heard it live or forget it. You're never going to hear it.
Wacky and Packy was a cartoon segment of Uncle Croc's Block.
Uncle Croc's Block.
I don't even know what you're talking
about. That's Charles Nelson Reilly. He was a giant crocodile that showed cartoons. You don't remember that?
Not really, but I'm looking at Wacky and Packy. One was a caveman and one was like a mastodon.
A pachyderm. Oh, it wasn't a pachyderm?
Well, it looks like an elephant.
Oh.
Yeah, boy, Bill.
No one remembers that but me? That was a great
Uncle
show.
Uncle Croc's Block.
Yeah. Welcome to Uncle Croc's Block. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. You never saw Uncle Croc's Block?
I missed you so much these 5 days.
Oh, man. I love that show.
Obviously.
I still send NBC cards all the time going, you should bring back Uncle Croc's Block. And then I don't hear back from them. It's shocking. Isn't that shocking?
Our story begins back in dinosaur days when an earthquake turns rivers to foam. And a caveman named Wacky and his woolly mammoth Packy end up 2 million years from home.
How about that?
That's Wacky and Packy.
I never heard of that before.
For a couple episodes, Wendy, they were joined by Cubs pitcher John Lackey. You know who designed their costumes?
No.
Bob Mackey.
Oh.
What a show that was.
You're Wacky.
Thank you.
Wait, is that his name, Wacky?
Wacky and Packy.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's taken. You can't have it.
I can't have it.
I don't remember this, Bill, at all.
Great cartoon.
I'll watch it on YouTube later.
They should make it into a live-action movie with Miles Teller. I'd buy a ticket today.
All right.
That's it, everybody. That's the show. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. Tomorrow, we're scheduled to have another one of these programs.
Scheduled?
I don't know. They may listen to today's show and rescind that offer. We'll see what happens. So thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.